Blog Talk Radio.
We continue now our series titled Wisdom for Happy, Successful Living. And this is an esoteric study of selected parables of Jesus. In this session, we are studying the parable of the pearl of great price. And we would do well to review at this time our definition of parable. Parable is from a Greek term which means a comparison. My definition for parable is that a parable is a two-story story, one story being obvious or exoteric, E-X-O-T-E-R-I-C, the other story being esoteric, or within the story, or within the outer story. I simply like to say a parable is a story within a story. It is a two-story story. There are two stories running parallel for comparison. Now, the parable of the pearl of great price. You will find the text in the Bible, in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, the 45th through the 46th verses, and I shall read the text to you. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. This parable of the pearl of great price is among those parables of Jesus called the Kingdom of Heaven parable, because they, and this particular parable, speak of the Kingdom of Heaven. The burden of Jesus' message is to show us what the Kingdom of Heaven is like. Therefore, his language, the Kingdom of Heaven is like, the Kingdom of Heaven is like unto. For the purpose of this study, the term Kingdom of Heaven means the mind and its thinking processes. So what Jesus is teaching us in these parables is what the mind is like. For the kingdom of God in man is the mind of God operating in and through man. It gives you some idea of how important it is to understand the mind and its processes, your mind and its processes. As a matter of fact, the real purpose of the whole Bible is to show you the processes of your mind and how they work. Dr. Bachman has a very interesting book titled, The Bible as the Story of You. And that very title tells it all. Everything in the Bible is the story of the working of the mind, the story of mind and its processes. It is really the story of the working of your consciousness. All of the characters and the events and the places in the Bible are portrayals of the working of the mind, portrayals of the working of consciousness, your consciousness. Take the leading character of the Christian scriptures, for example, Jesus. Jesus is far more than simply a theological figure, far more than just a historical figure. If all you get out of the Christian scriptures, and Jesus in particular, is just the story of a theological character or an historical character, you have missed Jesus as well as the whole Judeo-Christian scriptures. Jesus in the scriptures represents the God-conscious man. Jesus is the realization and the demonstration of the God-conscious man, the man who is conscious of who and what he is in God and who and what God is in him. Jesus is that mind of God in man which knows its oneness with God. We hear Jesus saying again and again, I and my Father are four. I and my Father are one. And so even that is a giveaway in a sense, but the theologians missed it. I and my Father are one. I am this mind which knows my oneness with God. I am this mind which knows my oneness with God. That may be grammatically incorrect, but it is mystically and spiritually correct. So repeat after me. I am this mind,
I am this mind,
which knows my oneness with God. Now, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's the Christ. And so in these parables of the kingdom of heaven, we are dealing with mind and its processes as the kingdom of God in man. And it's a wonderful thing to watch the processes of mind. In this parable of the pearl of great price, Jesus repeats, and I repeat the text, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. The mind is like a merchant man, seeking goodly pearls, seeking the real values of life, health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and infinite money. who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. A very shrewd merchant this mind is. Every mind is a merchant man. Just as I showed you how the mind is always marrying and divorcing, marrying whatever idea it accepts and divorcing every idea it rejects. Again, we're studying about the mind. You see, we're always talking about the mind. I don't care how you put it. The Bible talks about the mind in hundreds, yea, thousands of different ways. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is really never, ever talking about anything but the mind, consciousness. Every mind is a merchant man, and the mind is always buying and selling, selling and buying. Your mind is a busy place. Your mind is doing business all the time. Even when you're asleep, your mind is doing business. For again, there are two major departments of mind, conscious and subconscious. And even while you are asleep at night on the conscious mind level, the subconscious mind is doing business. This is why a lot of things happen to people and they don't know how or why. And they said, oh, tell me that I thought this up. What you subconsciously believe is always doing business in the marketplace of life. P.P. Quimby, a great and early mind scientist, said these words, I found that if I really believed something, it would happen whether I was consciously thinking about it or not. Once that deep subconscious level of mind buys an idea, marries an idea, that idea will be busy buying every other idea that goes along with it and selling the same. This is a part of the meaning of the scripture. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is desperately wicked. There's a better way to translate that. The heart is very secretive. The conscious mind is not always aware of what's in the subconscious. And this is why many times things will crop up that the conscious mind doesn't even know about or even forgot about. Not only does the subconscious mind buy ideas from the conscious mind, but the subconscious mind many times buys direct from the universal subconscious, wholesale, skipping the retail level. How many ideas have individuals subconsciously bought wholesale? When did you first buy the idea that you were going to die? You don't know. You bought that subconscious to subconscious. Where do people get their various negative ideas? If I were to list ideas, well, you take the idea of physical death, for example. Very few people can tell me the exact time, place, when you bought the idea of physical death. Just like that, you have subconsciously bought a lot of other ideas, subconscious to subconscious. Write a question, where did I get this idea? And probe yourself for all of the basic ideas that you accept. Because you see, whatever idea is in your subconscious mind, it's going to be buying and selling according to its nature. And so you bought a lot of stuff and didn't even know when you bought it. Every mind is a merchant man in the marketplace of life. Every mind is continually doing business, buying and selling whatever it believes. What are you buying? What are you selling? Whose religion have you bought? The God you believe in, you bought him too. Some of you have bought Billy Graham's God. Some of you bought John Calvin's God. A few of you bought Reverend Ike's God. A lot of you bought your mama's God. Not too many of you have bought your own God. Paul had gone through that process, and this is why we hear him say in many of his letters, my God. You see, you've got to buy your own concept of God. This is the true meaning of the Christian invitation, which says, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have got to make God personal to you. And you've got to be sure that it is your concept. Mama's God just may not serve your purpose. Some of you bought the Baptist God. Some of you bought the Catholic God. Some of you bought the Lutheran God. Or the Presbyterian God. Or the God of some other evangelist. Some of you might have bought Jonathan Edwards' God. The God that delights in dropping sinners into the pits of hell. I won't call his name, but I heard an evangelist on television saying how he woke up one night just burdened for souls because he saw souls just dropping into hell. Well, I will not buy his God. The hell with his God. I'm not buying any God that delights in dropping souls into hell. Of course, that gives the evangelist good jobs. The soul-saving business is very profitable. Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. What you subconsciously believe about God is a part of your self-concept, right? What concept of God have I bought? Closely examine your concept of God. You're a merchantman. You have bought somebody's God. I have an interesting experience all the time whenever I meet a person who calls himself or herself an atheist or an agnostic. And you know what I've really found out about atheists and agnostics? It's not that they don't believe in God as such. It's just that they won't buy the God of organized religion. I mean, don't call a man an atheist because he won't buy Reverend Ike's God or Billy Graham's God. Don't call a man an atheist because he won't buy the Lutheran God or the Baptist God or the Holy Rollers God. Again, getting back to Paul, who had decided his own concept of God so that he referred to my God. In one place he says, my God shall supply all your needs. Now, I'll buy that concept. We heard a testimony from a young lady here about her aunt who was dying with cancer in the final stages, stinking with it. And she came here and she was even afraid to ask us to pray for her aunt because her aunt belonged to a church where they believed that that was God's will, that sickness was God's will. You see that bill of goods that that woman bought? So anyway, this lady dying with cancer had obviously bought the God of the church that she belonged to. And it weighed heavily on the heart of her niece who wanted to ask for prayer. And she said, well, I'm going to ask anyway. And through our assistance, and her as a point of contact, we were able to help her aunt so that she's up and doing fine. All of the concepts that you buy, consciously and subconsciously, these are the things that determine your experience of life. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man. The mind is like a merchant man. And what does a merchant man do? He buys and sells. You know, you're in big business. You're in the biggest business there is, and it's really the Father's business. But you've got to do your business right. You've got to do your business positively. Mind is the biggest business in the universe. Together?
Mind is the biggest business in the universe.
And that's what we're about here. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell us. The kingdom of heaven is light. The mind of God operating in man is light. Thus and so. I want you to really work with that question. Whose religion have I bought? Whose God have I bought? In dealing with the children of Israel in the Old Testament scripture, Jehovah was constantly warning the children of Israel, meaning those who know the law. Those who know the law.
You're listening to the Moore Empire Building Show with your host, Akeem F. on Hindsight Radio.
Peace, everybody. Tune into the Moore Empire Building Show with your host, Akeem F. here on Hindsight Radio, the information station changing the nation. Hope everything's going well for you and your family this evening. As for me, everything's going good. I like Reverend. He said, God is you bought. You know, I add some God. Some people put the God of poverty, the god of depression. You know, they buy into all of that. You know, people have this tendency to have all of these issues and blame it on everything else but themselves, why they're having issues, you know? All of our issues is at our own hand, our own thoughts, our own mind. And love plays blame everywhere but themselves. Because that's the easy route. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to work on it when you say someone else is the problem. But yeah, let them have some success. Then all of a sudden, they didn't want to take credit for that. You know? But the law of the universe is balance. It's equal. It's just. Which means that just as much good as you're getting, let's put it like this, just as much positive you're getting negative. They work together. Positive and negative is not neither good nor bad. They just are what they are. It's us defining what's good and what's bad, you know, because all of these things are subjective. What I might think is a negative thing, someone else may say it's positive, and vice versa. So, like you said, the biggest business that we are dealing with is the acquisition, the control of people's minds. So the media, the education system is always trying to get you to buy in. Like right now, people are all caught up in the whole Trump getting impeached, which is not really a big deal because impeachment doesn't mean he's going to be out of office. It just means he's been discredited. He's been found not to be credible. Or he's been found to do something that they didn't agree with. So on each side, people are clapping and, oh, he got impeached. The people that don't like him, the people that do like him are upset, mad. But at the end of the day, all of that stuff don't mean anything. Because you can't make any money off of whether Trump gets impeached or not. See, these are things that distract you from your real purpose, distract you from practicing, getting your mind right, practicing getting your prosperity up, practicing seeing to your family business, seeing to the wealth of your family. See, that stuff is for the people that don't have anything else to do. Watch that, you know, see all of that stuff going on. And a side note, I happened to watch a clip of him talking about somebody whose husband had died. And in the clip, they had a dark-skinned sister, a young sister, with a red shirt on, and it said Trump something. I think it was like Trump 2020. And she was the darkest thing in there. Everything else was white, or what we call white. You know, that was a plant. See how they use our people to push their agenda? Mainly our sisters. And this young sister just bought into it. She looked like she was around 20-ish. Standing up there, Trump, Trump, Trump. I don't care about whether Trump is right or wrong. I don't care. But just the image and the use of using this young sister to be an enemy against her own people or people that look like her. Of course, she's going to get slack for that, people that know her. But it's just crazy how we allow ourselves to get caught up. But anyway, I didn't want to talk about all of that. Tonight, like I said, you know, these last few weeks leading up to the end of the year, I'm going to have short shows. But I'm going to give you good shows. Like tonight's going to be a good show. How do you get rid of that judge? How do you recuse him? You know, people stand up in court and say, recuse the judge. Recuse yourself. You know, we have even had clips on this station about that. But do you know that he got rules for recusing a judge? There are rules that you must follow. You know, you can't just say recuse the judge. You have to follow a process. And if that process is not followed, that same judge could just ignore or deny your request to be recused. That's why they don't recuse themselves, because y'all don't know the rules on how to recuse. Right? So tonight I'm going to read that rule. But this one is coming out of Florida. And I'm going to add some side notes, because I personally have experience with this, where I was helping with the case to stop the criminal contempt. And they decided to add a bunch of other stuff that caused their stuff to get denied. I tell y'all, if y'all going to ask me to do stuff for y'all, and then you add your own little spin on it, I can't say what the results is going to get. In this case, it didn't turn out well. Here it is. Let me put the link in the chat. It's called Rule 2.330, Disqualification of Trial Judge. Here we go. They say I'm chopping up. Okay, let me get on the phone. I'm trying to talk to this. Through the computer, so they said they're chopping up. So give me a second and I'll switch gears. It's always better to call from my phone than it is. All right, hold on. All right. Okay. All right. I should be able to hear me now. Better? Is that better? Is it chopping up? All right. There's your link for the what I'm going to be reading. All right. So let's go to that. Where was it? I kind of lost my place there. Add it up. There it is. All right. Rule 2.330, disqualification of trial judges. A, application. That means this is how you apply the rule. This rule applies only to county and circuit judges in all matters in all divisions of court. So this is in Florida, okay? B, party. Any party, including the state, may move to disqualify the trial judge assigned to the case on grounds provided by rule, by statute, or by the code of judicial conduct. C, motion. A motion to disqualify shall, meaning that this is how it needs to be done, number one, in writing. So if you want to disqualify a judge, a.k.a. recuse him, you have to do it in writing. Two, allege specifically the facts and reasons upon which the movement relies on the grounds for disqualification. Okay, the movement is the party. The movement is the party that is filing the motion. All right. Three, be sworn to by the party by signing the motion under oath or by a separate affidavit. And four, including the dates of all previously granted motions to disqualify filed under this rule in the case and the dates of the orders granting those motions. The attorney for the party shall also separately certify that the motion and the client statements are made in good faith. In addition to filing with the clerk, the movement shall immediately serve a copy of the motion on the subject judge as set forth in Florida Rule of Civil Procedure 1.080. D, grounds. A motion to disqualify shall show, one, that the party fears that he or she will not receive a fair trial or hearing because of specifically described prejudice or bias of the judge, or So this right here is probably the reason why most people would disqualify a judge, because most of these judges are practicing law from the bench and they're acting in unison or acting as a team or biased against you in the court along with the prosecution, or if it's a foreclosure case along with those trial attorneys. All right. Two, the judge before whom the case is pending or some person related to said judge by consanguinity or affinity within the third degree is a party thereto or is interested in the result thereof, or that said judge is related to an attorney or counsel of record in the cause by consanguinity or affinity within the third degree, or that said judge is a material witness for or against one of the parties to the cause. Time. Here's the time. This is what you have, time. A motion to disqualify shall be filed within a reasonable time not to exceed 10 days after discovery of the facts constituting the grounds for the motion, and shall be promptly presented to the court for an immediate ruling. So what that means is, like, you go to court, you find that he's biased, you got 10 days to file a motion to disqualify him. 10 days. Not to exceed 10 days. And they will rule on it immediately, as it says here. Any motion for disqualification made during a hearing or trial must be based on facts discovered during the hearing or trial and may be stated on the record. So you can do it verbally, according to this, provided that is also promptly reduced to writing. So you have to also not only verbally say it, if you're going to do it at that time, reduce it to writing in compliance with subdivision C, okay, and promptly filed. A motion made during hearing or trial shall be ruled on immediately, okay? F, determination initial motion. The judge against whom an initial motion to disqualify under subdivision D, one, is directed, shall determine only the legal sufficiency of the motion and shall not pass on the truth of the facts alleged. If the motion is legally sufficient, the judge shall immediately enter an order granting disqualification and proceed no further in the action. If any motion is legally insufficient, an order denying the motion shall immediately be entered. No other reason for denial shall be stated, and an order or denial shall be take issue with the motion. So what it's saying, if it's insufficient, they can deny it. That judge can deny it. So let's put it like this. Okay. What I experienced, someone did a motion to recuse, but they didn't certify it or they didn't swear on it under oath or by separate affidavit. This is what they did. They took the paperwork I did, which was the affidavit or a response to a show cause order and an arraignment on the contempt, and then they threw in a recusal all in one big package. So of course they denied everything, but guess what? They never responded to the fact of the response with the rebuttals to the contempt. The court didn't, and they didn't have to, because when you convolute your paperwork and you throw things in there that don't need to be in there, they just skip over it. And guess what? It's like she never responded to the show cause order. So basically that has to be done all over again, and maybe out of time to even respond. You see, this is what happens when you don't read the rules on how to do things, or you don't understand the rules. Now, I remember giving specific instructions not to include anything else with the paperwork that I was given, but they didn't listen, or they forgot. But, you know, hey, I don't try to take that personal. Because people have a right to do their thing and do what they feel like they want to do for themselves, you know, because it's them that have to suffer the consequences. But me personally, I like reading rules so I can know how to play the game. I keep telling y'all, that's their playground. And you can't go in their playground thinking you can create your own rules. But see, you could have a powerful response, and they can disqualify you just simply on one minute rule and ignore the rest, and they will win every time. Y'all understand that these courts are not in your favor to begin with. So why would you go into court half-cocked? In this case, it wasn't even cocked at all. In this case, it wasn't even a weapon or any, you know, any type of legal or lawful weapon in her hand to even win this. When you added all of this stuff, you see? So, you know, but like I said, people can do what they want. I stopped a long time ago taking this stuff personal and getting upset over it. Because it's not, you know, at the end of the day, it's on them. But there you go. That's how you recuse a judge in Florida. You need to go and look up, because it's not going to say recuse. Well, in this one, it doesn't say recuse in this Florida statute. It says disqualify, which is the same thing as you're getting him to disqualify himself. That's how they term it. Yeah. So there you have. That's how you do it. Man, today was a great day for information, because someone sent me, mailed me something to my post office box to donate for or pay for some product by way of money order. So I looked at the envelope, and this person was able to mail their stuff for free. And he got all of the rules. I called him up. I said, hey, you know, I've heard about this, but you're the first one I actually saw that actually did it. And so I got the information for that. So don't email me, hey, can I get that information? No, do not do that. Okay? I got it. When I'm ready to show y'all, I'll show y'all. And I'm only showing that in the private membership, which is almost up, coming up. To the people who got there. Passports as a national through me, not through some other means, only through me. I got that logged in, who did what. And this is one of those things that I'm going to be putting in the membership to show how to actually get your mailings for free. I got it in detail. I got the bona fide proof. So if I go and do this and then they try to give me a hard time and they say they can't do it, I can just show them this. Look. It was sent to me certified mail, and the label that they put on it shows $0 on it. They didn't pay for nothing. And then how he did it. And this also helped me see that if we're going to be claiming to be nationals but not citizens of the United States, we need to start sending our mail out like this, exactly like this, so that we can really get rid of all of the presumptions that they got us under. Stop using United States property. You know the zip code is United States property, right? So we're going to use, you know, just one, like how he addressed my address right at the bottom of it, you know, just to give us idea, non-domestic without United States. Now, you do know this is discharge. All this brother did was use the laws, because that's what it got on there, the rules for the Universal Postal Union, the rules on this envelope, so that they can punch in those rules in their computer and do everything.
or get, you know, discharge this postage. This is discharge right here. See, I told y'all, it's not complicated, and you ain't got to do any special tax forms to get it done. You just got to show them what to do. You know? So, with that being said, one last thing, and then I'm getting off. If they don't bleep, bleep, bleep me, let me check the chat, make sure y'all can hear me good. All right, we're going to get on the subject of, you know, we discharging postage, right? That's what we're doing. So let's go to UCC Section 304, Section 3-604. Let's go to that. Let's go to that real quick. Then I'm getting off. Not even taking phone calls tonight. Just going to teach. All right. There it is. Just click that link. Or copy and paste that link. And let's go. Let's get to it. Discharge by cancellation or renunciation. A person entitled to enforce an instrument with or without consideration may discharge the obligation of a party to pay the instrument by an intentional voluntary act, such as surrender of the instrument to the party, destruction, mutilation, or cancellation of the instrument, cancellation or striking out of the party's signature, or the addition of the words to the instrument indicating discharge, or two, by agreeing not to sue or otherwise renouncing the rights against the party by a signed record. I know I read that fast, but the sharp, the astute, the real minds, the true minds, caught what I said. Right? Now, in contract law, let's see, I'm on this mortgage tip. In contract law, right, the mortgage is a contract. The security agreement, the note, all that's a contract, right? Y'all do know, you know, let's just say if you ever bought a house, you go to the closing, they have you sign all these papers, blah, 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 blah. And at the end of it, they have this, they got a clause in it. You have 72 hours. Let me make sure I'm doing this right. It's 3 days. Just give me 1 second. It's called the buyer's remorse code. It's called the cooling off rules. Here it is. Let me put several federal laws known as cooling off rules allow you to cancel certain contracts within a few days of signing them. These laws apply to contracts made during door-to-door trade shows, contracts for home equity loans, delayed mail order to internet. In addition, some state laws allow you to cancel contracts for health club memberships, dating service. I'm trying to get to the real contract. Let's see. Certain contracts, which you can cancel. Ta-da. Trying to find it. I had it earlier, but here's my deal. Using this UCC code, it's saying that you can strike out your signature, and then you can include the words indicating discharge on it. Right? So that says right there, you just got to direct them to discharge. Right there. Now, that is further solidifying my point I'm trying to make. Once you get all your paperwork correct, you should be able to just inform the trustees on how to discharge your stuff. Well, once again, I can't go into details because they bleep me the other day, and they're going to start bleeping me again. So that's all reserved for the private membership. So I just got a small one. Envelope on discharging you. Just imagine if you don't have to pay for your postage anymore. Just imagine that. Okay? Like I said, this example will be used in the private membership only on how to do it properly. And I get, see, this is what I like. I like evidence, proof that someone did it. So many people brought me this. I do this for free. And I said, well, give me an example. And I never hear from them again. Why? Because they heard somebody else said they do it and they never really had it. This person officially mailed me something and they did it. I like that. When people are actually doing it and showing and proving what they do. You know, and these other examples I saw was not like this. You know, it was close, but no cigar. But anyway, there you have it. Let's see. Somebody's got, you know what? I do have to take a call. Somebody said they was getting on to ask me a question, and they are there. So let me answer this question, and then I'm gone. 4-7, you got a lot of background.
All right. Greetings.
Close that window. It's cold outside.
Well, I'm in Georgia. I am actually going to pull off the road. It's been a long day. I just left my barber. I was hoping to have been home, at 7. Mm-hmm. But I'm calling from Atlanta.
That's better.
Yes.
Oh,
okay, hold on.
Marco, hold on a second before I answer your question. Marco, you don't have to be a natural to do this. Pre-posted. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. What was your question?
Well, I don't know. I just want to say that I find you very refreshing. There's just a fluidness and a transparency about you that I appreciate. I was referred to you for a friend of mine, and I've listened off and on for like a week or so, and in particular, having to do with the passport, I did the copper moonshine process and, went through the motions. And then he called me and said, no, you needed the exemplary statement. So I said, wow, okay. So I guess my question is, I made an appointment already to go Thursday after Christmas. Am I resubmitting a DS-11? I'm just doing a new application because I want the book and the passport card. My daughter and I went. And this was in October, so it was just a couple months ago.
You have to turn all that in if you're going to do it the way I do.
Right. Okay. And I have no problem with that. So we are redoing the DS-11.
Mm-hmm. Redo the DS-11, and you gotta also include an explanatory statement. Now I don't know where you're gonna get that from.
Okay.
You can get it from me, but I sell it as a package with a video on my website.
Gotcha.
It walks you through it. Step by step, and it includes the explanatory statements that I use.
I also listened the other day. Oh, I'm the one who was going to do the consult, and I had the bank. I had the mishap with the bank. Yeah, that's me. So I didn't know how to reach you other than that message. So anyway, my intention.
Well, I just don't have to look at it. I normally don't get on that.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah.
So I just happened to notice it, and then I, responded quickly.
Okay. Because it was a challenge, I tell you. The bank said it was declined. They charged me twice, and I said, well, no, I just wanted one. And so, anyway, I will go back and redo that. But I also, Tuesday, there was a gentleman who called in who got the lock-in letter, and I got that myself earlier this year, so I'm interested in that process. And then
On that lock-in letter, I'm about to post the IRS webinar 4 that will show you how to deal with the lock-in letter.
You had said that on Tuesday. So I'm going to look for that. And then Tuesday there was another gentleman that talked about the Constitution, and I hear you talking a lot about the Constitution and the Bible. And am I to understand you were a Christian and you're not, but that you use their tools, the Constitution and the Bible, to get remedy? Is that what I'm
yes.
understanding?
Now, as far as Christian, that's, you know, that's my foundation. That's why I was raised this one. And I use that information. Now, when I say I don't follow all of the principles that they subscribe to, but I still adhere to a lot of different the teachings, you know. So, you know, I just don't do it like the tradition like everyone else is doing. But that got me nowhere. The understanding, you know, I use that Bible as an example. It's a good book to teach from. And most people in this country is, you know, Christian based, the most people that I know, and that's what they relate to. So that's what I teach from. I teach to where people relate to.
And I'm trying to think if there was something else. I had written notes from Tuesday, and like I said, I'm on my way home, and I don't have them right here in front of me. But anyway, I look forward to talking with you.
Well, save them for next Tuesday, and I'll get to answer your questions.
Okay.
Right.
And I'll be looking. I'll connect with you as far as the consult, too, as soon as I can.
Okay. All right. With my passport process, I do a whole lot more than just the passport. I teach you how to fix your driver's license, how to fix your SS5, and ultimately fix the birth certificate. Yeah.
Yes. That was my next question, because half car will travel. I live in the Atlanta area. You finished up in Champaign, Illinois, and I wasn't close enough to get there. And you said that you were going to start traveling, doing seminars in February. How close are you going to be to Atlanta? And I'm willing to drive.
I don't know what. I'm working on one for Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
I have to actually sign the contract paperwork, but I don't know what date that's going to be, because I'm waiting for someone else to give me a date, because I'm going to do that seminar before I do Charlotte. So if I do Charlotte, that looks like more realistically March, late February, March. But I might be back. I might be in Alabama.
Okay.
The next one I do, Alabama, Mississippi, and might be right back in Champaign, Illinois. Come February. So I don't know for sure yet. You know,
all right.
Once I get those dates locked down, I'll announce them. But the next closest to Atlanta I'm going to get is Charlotte, North Carolina.
Or
about 4 hours.
Or Alabama.
Alabama. I don't know anybody in Alabama. Wait a minute. Yes, I'm wrong. It is Alabama. Alabama.
That's
what we talked about.
All right, because like I'm right next
but
door.
But I'll let you know as soon as I do it.
Okay. Do you also provide remedy or guidance for international people? My daughter's boyfriend's from Nigeria, and he's not a U.S. citizen, so I don't know.
What I would tell
I'm just
him,
asking.
The only remedy I can, or advice I can give him, don't become a citizen. Don't do it. Don't do it.
But I'm just
don't become
wondering.
A citizen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, really, I don't have much for people that live in other countries. I mean, but if they come here and they have tax issues or debt issues, I could help with that. But
okay.
When it comes to nationality, I don't have remedy for that for them.
Okay. Yeah, he's been here for a while. And then what was the other thing? Do you?
He's got a green card.
I guess I got to find out. I don't. Yeah, I'll find out. We'll find out. Indigenous. I'm indigenous. I'm an aboriginal. Do you make that connection too with
seminars. I go over that in the seminars. That's basically how my affidavit is structured, to bring you back to your aboriginal status.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. All right. Well.
Okay. All right.
Much appreciated.
All right. Thank you. You have a good time.
Thank you.
All right, y'all. That's it. The close of the show, 1 hour. But I gave y'all something to think about in accusing the judge, and I also showed y'all how to. Well, I told y'all. I didn't show you that. You know, free posters, but it's going in the membership. An example that you can follow and copy. All right, peace.
You're listening to the More Empire Building Show with your host, Akeem F. on Hindsight Radio.